Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, welcome in. It is a Friday. I feel bad for the shows that have to compete against us today. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Yes, indeed, I am over my cold, although it doesn't sound like it. I added a Red Bull to the show today.
Uh-oh.
I am coming at 100 miles an hour. Joy Taylor is joining me. A Blazing Five at the top of next hour. I gave out my first Blazing Five pick last night.
Strong
Ryan,
start.
Did you see how it did, Joy?
Went really well.
It went very well. I gave you the Los Angeles Rams. Uncle Colin is like Santa in the fall here presenting you with hundies. It is great to have you in. How are you, Joy?
Doing great. Very excited for this weekend.
You know, Joy, Joy and I can't be fans. I mean, we grew up in certain areas. She, Pittsburgh, me, the Pacific Northwest. So I have a soft spot, sort of. I went to college in Cheney, Washington, and the Seattle Seahawks used to train there. And I would watch Steve Largent, my all-time favorite player when I was young, and Jim Zorn and Sherman Smith and Dan Dornick and I knew Eugene Robinson at Colgate, first year rookie at Cheney, and you didn't know who he was, and I knew he was going to be a star, and I miss those days, and I love those days. But I've got to be honest about my Seattle football franchise. They're not good, they're not particularly well coached, and they are duct taped together by a Hall of Fame level quarterback, Russell Wilson. Not everybody ages the same. My wife often says this to me, honey, please stay current. Don't get outdated. Seattle and Pete Carroll at 70 does not feel current. Defensively, the schemes feel outdated. Analytic people have been making fun of the Seahawks offense for years. Pete Carroll is 70, and unlike Nick Saban or Andy Reid, he is now starting to feel outdated. Pete, go on TikTok. Snapchat, IG, you feel old and your team looks old. I am not a backseat driver. I have been on this for 2 years. The Jamal Adams trade felt desperate. It felt like an older coach trying to win that year. I like Jamal. Two first rounders, a third, and a player for a safety, not even Ed Reed, probably worth that. Seattle is soft, they're noisy, they're mistake-prone, they're a shell of themselves, and Russell Wilson should not tolerate this. I like Pete, and I know Pete, but he had been fired twice in the NFL and had a losing record in Seattle, and Russell Wilson is why he's going to get a gold jacket. And right now, Russell is carrying a franchise that's about ready to implode. They're not a good football team, they do not look current. They are on pace to give up the most yards in a season in the Super Bowl era. And the score last night doesn't tell the story. It was not really 26-17. Matt Stafford was awful in the first half. The Rams were terrible. But like everybody against the Hawks, the Rams dominated the second half. They're just too desperate recently. They give away draft picks like dentists give away floss. Everything's about now because Pete's older, and since Paul Allen passed away, he's taken total control of the franchise. I don't like their drafts. They've whiffed on several first-round picks. I mean whiffed. Rashad Penny, I said it the day they picked him. I had other GMs laughing at that pick. I don't like this franchise right now. Got to come to terms with it. They're not well coached. They're not well run. They feel outdated. They're noisy in the offseason. They're mistake-prone, and Pete has an engaging personality, but he has always run very hot with players. New England, he did it with the Jets, he did it with USC, and then he leaves and there's scar tissue, and it's tearing away at the fabric of this franchise. They're loose, they're a hot mess at times, they're defensively major gaps. I mean, they're not competitive now. If you start looking around that division, that defense is not going to be able to contain, come close to contain, Arizona and the Rams. They couldn't beat him at home. I mean, if it wasn't really for Matt Stafford's egregiously bad interception, this thing could have been far worse. Quadre Diggs, Seahawk defender, acknowledged the problems. At least he did that after the game.
I mean, we got shit we need to fix, and everybody knows that. So at the end of the day, you know, you either do your job or you're not ready for this type of atmosphere. That's just plain and simple.
All right, let's shift gears. We don't want to talk all about the losing team. I'd like to talk about a city of winners, Los Angeles. I can't remember the last time we lost a game in any sport. Anywho, in any relationship, don't give up too much of yourself. You women out there, creative, thoughtful, funny, the very thing he was attracted to, he's now trying to suppress. Don't let him. And you girls out there, he was always home a little late, likes to have a good time. Let him put on his party hat once in a while. In any relationship, don't give up too much of yourself. I think Sean McVay has given up too much of himself with Matt Stafford. Now, outside of Detroit, nobody really watched Stafford for the last 13 years. He was, if you didn't notice, on those 1 o'clock games, probably losing to, I don't know, Minnesota, Green Bay, everybody. And so here's what Matt Stafford is. Let's put some context to it. Very talented. He's not a tier one quarterback. He's not as dynamic as Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson or Kyler or Aaron Rodgers. Stop. Stop. He's not. He's not that kind of athlete. He's talented. And he's way, way, way up in the tier two. He could be the number one tier two quarterback. Him and, you name it. He's not a one. Trust your eyes. He's got a good arm. It's not Mahomes. It's not Josh Allen. He's a good athlete. He's not special. 13 years, some injuries, good arm, mostly accurate, but last night, horrible rookie mistake in the red zone on a pick. Missed several open receivers. He's a very, very strong, solid, upper tier two quarterback. Vegas, as we told you earlier, did not alter the line dramatically. They were a 5-win team with Stafford as a Lion quarterback. He left. Goff entered. They were still a 5-win team in Vegas. Rams were a 10-win team with Goff in Vegas. The trade happened. They were 10.5. Vegas cares about one thing, lettuce. Matt Stafford is better than Jared Goff. But we have to contextualize Stafford speak. He's very good and very talented. He ain't Kyler Murray. Not what I see. Not Russell. Not Aaron. Not Mahomes. Not Lamar. He's not. So Sean McVay, and this is what happens in relationships. You fall in love. You give up all of yourself. He is perfect. She is perfect. I love her smoker's cough. You'll get irritated. It just takes time. Last year, the Rams had the second most play-action passes in the NFL. They were clever and unique, and they were just always moving areas and fooling people. Now they have the second least. They're kind of boring. Pedestrian. I like Matt Stafford. But he needs some clever too. McVay, to cover up Goff's flaws, had the most unique looking, clever play action, misdirection. It was a blast to watch. They didn't even really look like anybody else. He gets Stafford, who was clearly better, and now they do more dropbacks than all but one team in the league. Sean, you've given up too much of yourself, too much of your wizardry. You're very smart. Use it. You're very clever. Be it. McVay, in this honeymoon period, has just given up all the tricks and the fun and the misdirection. First of all, Matt Stafford deserves that too. And he's good. And you can score a lot of points with Matt Stafford. But, I mean, if you're a magician, don't give up. Don't give up on all the magic tricks. I watch the Rams right now. They are 20th. Think about this. 20th in the NFL in plays per drive. Now, think about that. That's like bad teams are down there. 20th in plays per drive. That's with Sean McVay, a top five offensive coach, with an excellent offensive line, a capable running game, and an outstanding wide receiver tight end group. That's not acceptable. That's like Jared Goff with a better arm. Be careful about giving too much up of yourself. I mean, every time they have McVay and Stafford, I saw it again last night on the sideline next to each other. It's googly eyes. Oh, what are you doing this weekend? Well, I don't know. What are you doing? Want to get coffee? Mocha Chino? Sean, you're brilliant. Go back to being brilliant. Stafford's talented, but he's not Mahomes. Stop the googly eyes. Go back to being more of yourself. When the Rams are at their best, they don't look like everybody else. That's the brilliance of McVay. When they came into this league, it was like everything was moving. And you can't go from second most play action passes to second least. You can go from second most to 13th, 9th. But Stafford deserves some of your brilliance, too. Allow him to see it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
David Carr of the NFL Network, older brother of the very talented Derek Carr, quarterback for the Raiders, in an NFL Network article wrote about could the Pittsburgh Steelers bench Ben Roethlisberger? Now, there's a lot of nostalgia here. It's like Eli Manning and the New York Giants. I understand the power of nostalgia. Pittsburgh's a medium-sized market. The Steelers are a wildly successful franchise. There's a lot of love and connective tissue in this relationship, like Eli New York. And the Giants, again, great franchise historically. But let me ask you, why can't you? In the last 10 games for Big Ben, he's 3-7, so you're not winning. So let's deep dive on the numbers. What kind of quarterback is he? I'm mostly awful. 81 passer rating, 64% completion percentage, 17 touchdowns and 13 picks. That's his last 10 starts. Now, y'all out there want to bench Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's Lucifer. He's the worst. You've got to bench him. He's got no talent. Andy Dalton's last 10 games, unlike Ben, he's 5-5, completing 66% of his throws, 2-1 touchdown ratio, and a 90 passer rating. And you can't sit Andy Dalton in that beautiful red hair any faster. Get that bum out of here. Well, Colin, who are we going to start? Are we going to start Dwayne Haskins? Let's go look at Dwayne Haskins' last 10 starts. Oh, they look a lot like Ben's. Up and down, look a lot like Ben's. And at least with Dwayne Haskins, there's a chance he could be the future. Pittsburgh's got to stop trying to convince themselves they're losing for any other reason than Ben. First of all, receiving core, which matters in 2021, I think it's very good. I like Chase Claypool. We argued on the staff this morning. He's their second best receiver. Linebacking core, fantastic. What's new? It's Pittsburgh. TJ Watt, elite pass rusher. Everybody in the league wants that. Minka Fitzpatrick, star. Hayward, star. Offensive line, that's a problem, Colin. Well, Pro Football Focus has it rated as the sixth best pass-blocking offensive line in the league. It ain't that bad. Hall of Fame coach. They got a running back now. You're losing because of Ben. That's it. And I understand nostalgia. Like, I always understood the Eli New York situation because the Eli memories were so powerful. But Eli's memories should have been powerful. He outdueled the greatest quarterback ever twice, Tom Brady, and the greatest coach ever, Bill Belichick, twice. And in both those games, there was a throw that Eli Manning made that decided the game. One to Mario Manningham, which was amazing, and one to David Tyree. Eli led those teams fourth quarter big throws. Big Ben hasn't had a dynamic shootout win in a playoff game in 11 years. I went and Googled it this morning, and it wasn't that dynamic. Two touchdowns against Joe Flacco in 2010, 31-24 Steelers. Ben's nostalgia isn't close to Eli's nostalgia. Okay, Ben's first Super Bowl, he just didn't get in the way of it. Eli outdueled the greatest quarterback ever twice and made magnificent throws in the fourth quarter against great defenses to win. Y'all want to run Andy Dalton out of town. Last 10 games, he's a significantly better player. And by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but Joe Burrow's really good. And Lamar Jackson wins 83% of his games. And I'm not a Baker fan, but he's competent, I think.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
First impressions are really powerful. I mean, I still have memories from childhood when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And you go to a psychologist, you sit in the couch. And years and years ago, I had a friend, Peter Lauterhouse. He was a psychologist. And I did a day therapy thing, just kind of cleaned my head out, was going through some stuff. And it was fascinating. You write your life on a board and different experiences, and what you find out is you embellish them. Things generally are not as bad as you think as a kid. Your memories are, oh, my life was spinning out of control, and you were just a goofy kid. And that's why first impressions are really powerful, and they're often unfair. So Daniel Jones of the Giants went 6 in the draft. So you didn't watch him at Duke at all. Don't pretend you did. He went 6 in the draft. And our initial reaction was, the hell's going on? That's ridiculous. And we didn't like the general manager who drafted him, Dave Gettleman. Gettleman doesn't know what he's doing. He's not the same. And his first year, his first game, I think, was at Tampa. He was pretty good. But he struggled, and he turned the ball over a lot. A lot. And so our first impressions of Daniel Jones are, he's a turnover machine, and not very good. And then all of a sudden, you look up, and you're like, he doesn't turn the ball over anymore, and he's kind of good. And now just think about his body. 6'5", 240, and runs a 4'8", 40. Justin Herbert, 6'5 and a half, 238, and ran a 4'7", 40. Now, Herbert probably has the better arm, but he is a big, strong athlete who can move. And he no longer turns the football over. Daniel Jones is not the Giants' problem. And now that Andrew Thomas, their left tackle, is playing well, and there's a lot of weapons here, that Dallas Giants game is going to be potentially a shootout. I went this morning and I looked at his completion percentage this year. It's 67%. 300 yards a game, 8 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of almost 100. Daniel Jones, and that's behind not a great O-line. Daniel Jones is not the problem. If you look at his size, he would stand right next to Justin Herbert, and they would be the same size. And they're about the same speed. Herbert ran a 4.7 at the combine, and Daniel ran a 4.8 at the combine. If you run 40 yards, the difference between a 4.8 and a 4.7 is, I've already said it, and you can't even measure it because it's so fast. It's just one leaned a little faster. You've seen Daniel run. Yes, he once fell running by himself, and you've seen Herbert run. They're both athletic enough. Herbert does have a better arm, a very, very big arm, a rare top 8-9 arm in the league. But I think our first impressions of Daniel Jones now are getting in the way of reality. I watched him last week. I watched almost all that game, and he's not the issue. I will say this, Jason Garrett, who I like and know, is a little conservative for my taste as an offensive coordinator. Now, Jason deserves a lot of credit. He confronted Daniel Jones last year. I called him. We talked about this. He said, dude, you're not going to last in this league. Stop fumbling. He had 32 fumbles in 3 years. it was embarrassing. It was Jameis Winston interceptions. It was insane. He's cut those out. He's got one this year. He's lost one. He's got one pick. So I think we got to be fair about this with our athletes, is that sometimes there are ugly starts. We've done a lot of this with Derek Carr. He goes to Fresno State. He inherits a bad situation. He gets hurt or has a bad year. And then you look up and you're like, Derek Carr's a really good quarterback. Derek Carr's a really good quarterback. Daniel Jones is okay. I don't think he's the problem. He's a big, strong kid that can move. And as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, I mean, you watch the highlights here. He throws a really pretty ball. They have Darius Slayton. They have the rookie out of Florida. They have Kenny Golladay. They have Saquon Barkley. Now they have a legitimate Evan Engram at tight end. Andrew Thomas at left tackle. We don't love Gettleman. We don't like where he's drafted. And we didn't like the fumbles. Totally fair. But you got to be able to pivot to the truth. We always say on this show, it's not about being right. It's about getting it right. Daniel Jones is not their problem. That's not their problem right now. You can blame Jason Garrett. I can hear that. He can get really, really conservative. I think they have to let Daniel a little loose. I think they got to let him loose because I don't think you're going to shut down the Cowboys. Cowboys are going to get into the 30s this weekend, but I think it's not in my blazing five, but I would take the Giants and the points. I think they're going to be competitive.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Fire. Eagles at Panthers.
I like Carolina here, and I like the number a lot, -3. First of all, Sam Darnold didn't play great against the Cowboys, but he's been wildly productive. He had 4 touchdowns, 2 running, 2 passing, and 5 rushing touchdowns this year. And Christian McCaffrey, it looks like he's back and he'll play. But the Panthers' defense is the story. It has been excellent this year, and I believe they feel embarrassed by their performance last week. Don't forget, they can really ball. The Eagles have lost 3 straight, and their defense is falling apart. They've allowed 40-plus points in back-to-back games, and the Eagles' O-line is missing 4 starters this week. Second straight road game. I like Carolina here to win it and cover 27-20 Panthers.
Packers at Bengals.
Upset alert. I'm going to take the Bengals +3. I'm betting the money line. Joe Burrow's won back-to-back games for the first time in his career. Notice the protection. Sacked just once over the last 2 weeks. He's really blossomed. All his numbers are exceptional. Ja'Marr Chase is another Bengal draft pick on the offensive side that's hit. The Bengals defense now. Last in the NFL in sacks. This year, top 10 in sacks. They're getting pressure. Jair Alexander could be out for the Packers, maybe the best corner in the league, and Green Bay's red zone defense has been awful. Of the 11 trips against their defense in the red zone, people have scored on all of them. That's the worst in the league. Upset Bengals 28-27, their biggest win in years.
Dolphins at Buccaneers.
I'm going to take the Dolphins +10. Tampa's not good enough. I'm sorry, I don't care. They're not good enough to give up 10 points. Gronk is out. Tom Brady didn't play well without Gronk last week. He's his security blanket. Their 3 of their top 4 cornerbacks from week 1 are all out. They're banged up on the back end. And by the way, this defense, look at the numbers. You know I love Todd Bowles. They're not playing well. They're not getting a pass rush. And the Dolphins have 34 quarterback hits this year, second most in the league. Tampa wins, but I think it's ugly. It's played between the 20s, and I'm not surrendering 10 points. I'll take Miami +10. They'll lose 24-20, but it's too many points for a team in Tampa right now that's not playing particularly well.
Browns at Chargers.
Okay, this is a value pick. So Cleveland played very poorly on offense, so everybody now doubts them. The Chargers won a standalone game on Monday, so now they're overvalued. The bet is the Browns here +2.5. I know what you're saying. Colin, the Browns, that offense was focused this week because they were nothing last week. The stadium's also going to be 50-50 Browns fans. The defense for the Browns is coming into its own, but this game is really simple. The Browns have the number 1 rush offense in the league, and the Chargers have the 4th worst rushing defense. Cleveland will control the clock, and therefore I like the pick. The Browns win a close one. You know I like the Chargers. I think they're overvalued by the line in this spot. Browns 27-26.
Bills at Chiefs.
Yeah, this could be a blowout to me. Folks, we got to be honest about Kansas City. They've got problems defensively. You're talking about a Buffalo Bills team that gets 3 points? Their defense this year, and they've really worked on this. Sean McDermott, a defensive coach, the last 2 drafts, they've really tried to patch up their defensive front. It is working. Takeaways are first in the league. Passer rating defense, first in the league. The Chiefs win against the Eagles last week. It was Kansas City's first win by more than 6 points since week 8 last year. They can't stop anybody. 31st in scoring defense. They're allowing almost 7 yards a play. That's something the Vegas pays attention to. I like Buffalo here, and I think they could win it by more than this. I'll take the 3 points. Buffalo, 36-28. All odds provided by Fox Bet. As I said, it's going to be a good week for Ohio. Last week was a good, rare, great week for New York football, and we told you we picked the Giants to upset the Saints. I think the Bengals are going to have their biggest win in years. You know I like underdogs. I always do. And I think the Bengals' story is they got the tackles right. So Joe Burrow, who's just becoming a really, really captivating player, good for him, off that injury. We didn't even know if he was going to be available in September. Good for Joe Burrow.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So in the NFL, there's kind of a general rule. If you draft somebody, you're more loyal to that player. You know, confirmation bias. You don't want to bail on your draft pick after a year because you're acknowledging, yeah, I screwed up the draft pick. That's why it was so rare when Steve Keim, the GM of Arizona, bailed on Josh Rosen for Kyler Murray. He also fired his coach after a year. So he admitted the two most important things in the league, quarterback, coach, I made a big mistake last year. That is incredibly rare. That just doesn't happen in the NFL. I'm not sure it's ever happened before. You got to give Steve Keim credit. But if you inherit somebody else's picks or coach, it's different. Never forget that Andrew Berry, the GM of Cleveland, and Kevin Stefanski, the coach of the year, inherited Baker Mayfield. He's not theirs. They're trying to make it work. And it's very interesting. We have to judge quarterbacks, let's be fair here, on what they have to work with, right? It's a salary cap league. Baker's not making money. So Baker has 3 or 4 things going for him. Great offensive line. Probably the best in the league. Number one rush game. A star receiver, either Jarvis Landry or right now Odell. And he's got a very, very competent offensive coach. Kevin Stefanski won Coach of the Year. He's a very good coach. One of the better young offensive coaches. So let's look at Baker's numbers. Compare it to Dak, who has the same thing. So Baker, 65%, 89 passer rating, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Only the Bears have fewer touchdown passes. So I would say Dak Prescott also has a top 5 offensive line, a robust running game, a star receiver or two, and a competent offensive coach. Well, Dak's numbers blow Baker away. All right, well, let's go to another guy that has a defensive coach, but I think Kirk Cousins has a great running game when Dalvin Cook's healthy, excellent receivers, a decent offensive line, and a capable coach in Mike Zimmer, though defensive. Oh, his numbers are much better than Baker's, too. Folks, Jimmy Garoppolo's numbers are better than Baker's. This GM and coach did not draft Baker. They inherited Baker. That's why this game this weekend is important, because he's going to be going up against a contemporary, Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield. Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield. The GM's looking down. Then it's Kyler Murray. And then it's Lamar Jackson. And then it's Joe Burrow side by side. Not great. Now, I defended Baker after last weekend. Everybody has a stinker. But he's got to get this thing with Odell Beckham right. Since Odell Beckham came to Cleveland, you got to get the star receiver right. Dak and Amari work. I mean, Stafford's working with Cooper Kupp and last night Robert Woods. You got to get that right. Kirk Cousins, Jefferson. You know, it works. You got to make that work. Baker and Odell Beckham. I'm not blaming anybody. It doesn't work. Odell talked about that.
Anybody who wants to be great and expects that level of greatness, like, is going to be, you know, not happy with the result if it isn't what they were aiming to get. So it's just something we got to figure out. We're winning. I think it'd be easier to create a little controversy if we were losing. So we're just going to keep the train rolling, 3-1. Just keep it rolling.
Now, I heard this week through my labyrinth of sources that Cleveland radio is kind of picking on Baker. and you should slow down. He needs support, not a lot of negative criticism. And he is better than his backup, Case Keenum, although that was the prototype. I said when Baker came into the league, I said he has a much better arm, but he and Case Keenum are kind of athletically sized, kind of the same guy. And Case Keenum at one point won 11 games with the Vikings when he had support, a good O-line, good receivers, good run game, played with the lead. But it is important to note, when you look at what Baker has, excellent O-line, great run game, star receiver, excellent tight ends, offensive coach, his numbers are completely pedestrian. Completely pedestrian. They're not good enough. And these guys inherited him. They didn't draft him. So these next 6-7 games, when he's playing his contemporaries, the Burrows, the Lamars, the Herberts, the Kyler Murrays, he's not only going to win those games, he's got to help win those games. Can't all be running. Can't have two touchdown passes at this point. Only the Bears have fewer.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, so let's talk about this. So I don't think, you know, this would be called speculation on Russell Wilson. But it's not that much speculation because stories get out when somebody wants them out. And Russell Wilson in the offseason, it was brief, but there was some contempt with the organization. He was not happy with Seattle, and he released four teams. Four teams suddenly surfaced. And his wife, Ciara, is an entertainer, and it just so happened they're all entertainment towns. Dallas, Chicago, Las Vegas, and New Orleans. Lounges, concerts. These are, you know, along with Miami and L.A., a little juicier towns, right? You got a little action there. And so let's eliminate if Russell wanted out after the year. Because I do think it's this organization right now, I don't think Russell's happy. I know that for a fact. He's not in love with everything here, but he'll be a good soldier during the season. So let's eliminate the Bears. They're not gonna go get him because they've got Justin Fields. And let's eliminate the Cowboys. They shouldn't. They have Dak Prescott. Deal's done. I think the Raiders would be a 50-50 call, but I do think the Raiders would kick their tires on it. But I will say this again. Derek Carr has been the life preserver the last several years, not the issue. He's not the hole in the boat. You know, he's the Bondo fixing the hole or rowing the boat. So I don't think Derek Carr is the issue. But I do think John Gruden would look around and make some calls. I think New Orleans, there's two or three teams that I think Russell and Ciara, it's a package deal. She's not going to Green Bay. I doubt highly she would go to Denver. My guess is Sean Payton, New Orleans, more East Coast. I think that feels right. Atlanta could work for me, but between Matt Ryan's contract and Russell's, I don't think it could work. Miami is very fascinating. It's an international city. Miami's an entertainment capital kind of city, like a Vegas or an LA or a New York. We had an argument this morning. I do not think the Jets or Giants would move off their quarterbacks. Although Russell Wilson is good enough, you'd have to consider it as a staff. You'd call the owner in. Russell's the kind of guy you'd have to consider it. But I New Orleans, Miami, and a little bit Vegas, I'd keep your eyes on. But, the other thing, we were talking about this morning, and I thought it was a really good point by a member of our team as we were kind of talking about this, is that, you know, a lot of times in life, you look at your situation, and I'm talking to you, and you kind of look at your peers and what do they get and what do I get? Well, it's interesting with Russell Wilson. So he looks around his division, and Arizona has a 42-year-old offensive head coach, and San Francisco has a 41-year-old offensive coach, and the LA Rams have a 35-year-old offensive coach, and he's got a 70-year-old defensive coach. It's something. Twice the age of Sean McVay. Something. And especially when you think up to the previous offensive coordinator that you guys have been kind of like stuck in quicksand offensively and running an outdated offense. You start connecting things in your head. My coach is old. He's defense. Our offense is outdated. I'm just saying, this is the kind of stuff, you know, we all think it's all focus, but you have 7-8 hours a day you're on your phone. You're sitting out there looking at your peers and looking at your opportunities. I keep your eye on the Saints because they're doing a lot of babysitting with Jameis Winston. I think Sean's looking at Russell Wilson, hoping things go awry in Seattle.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Our Shady McCoy is a two-time Super Bowl champ, a six-time Pro Bowler, is going to get Hall of Fame votes in 12 years in the NFL. He's joining us now. He just retired last week, signed a one-day contract with the Eagles, and retired as an Eagle. So let's just talk about Philadelphia. I have my doubts about Nick Sirianni, and I don't know if Jalen Hurts is the guy. I don't. What do you now? They have a tough one. They got to go on the road again, Carolina. Your thoughts about Jalen Hurts and what do you see that you like? What worries you, Shady, a little bit?
Well, actually, I actually love Nick. I really do. He's very intelligent, very smart. The years he's put in, man, you can tell. Being a young coach, he's really dialed in. But only thing about Hurts that scares me is just trying to make them big plays, holding the ball a little bit longer than he should.
Yeah.
Trying to look for the big home run. But I will say he's scrambling a little bit more. I went to the game last week. I got retired. So I watched the game, and he scrambled when he needed to scramble. He took a lot of short passes. They had a quick game that I think really, really worked for him. They ran the ball a little bit. Sure, run a little bit more.
Yeah.
Get Miles Sanders involved a little more because he's probably the best offensive player. The rookie Smith showed up. I just think that Hurts, man, to simplify the game plan for him, a little bit more quick game and some scramble and some more runs with the quarterback.
Yeah.
Design runs.
Did he look comfortable to you in the pocket?
That's the thing. I don't think he looked that comfortable. I think he's every game is getting better and better. And this is the thing, man. He's still new. Like, he's still a rookie. I feel like he's still a rookie. This is his first year of really starting, really getting involved. I think you could do some more like speed screens, some sweeps. They did a lot of that last week, and they did pretty good against the Chiefs up and down the field, which I kind of everybody does. But I think the more they can do that, it helps them in the pocket and gets them more comfortable.
So they go on the road again. They came back to Philly. Now they go on the road to Carolina, and the Panthers' offense, Christian McCaffrey's coming back. So that's a real challenge for Philadelphia. Now, you played for both the Bills and the Chiefs in the last 3 years, and that's one of the big matchups this weekend. I really do worry about Kansas City's defense here. You know, one of the ways a great offense can lose is if the quarterback ends up being a spectator and sitting on the sidelines because you can't get anybody off the field. Aren't you worried about Kansas City's defense?
I'm worried. I really am. When I watched that game last week, man, they talked about how the Eagles struggled against the Cowboys. They went against the Chiefs. They went up and down the field the whole time. And it's like, as a quarterback, like a guy like Pat Mahomes, who is going to give you points, he's going to give you long drives. But the only thing is, like, you got to be perfect. And the NFL, that's hard to do. I watched that game, and, like, they had to score on every drive.
Yeah.
And if not, you go against a team like the Bills, where the defense is a lot better and their offense is a lot better. Now you have trouble. And I'm nervous that I think the Bills may take this game.
Yeah. No, let me ask you about Josh Allen, because you were there in Buffalo, and his first year, you know, he was erratic. But did
right.
Shady, did you know, did you see it practice? Did you sense like, man, if this guy can get it right, he's going to be incredible?
I hate to say it, but Shady knows. when we drafted Josh Allen, I said, this kid is the real deal. People don't know, man. He's about 6'5", 230-some pounds. He's tough as nails. He has a big heart. He has a big arm. Everybody talks about, like, Patrick Mahomes' arm. It's so close. As far – now, he might be – now, Pat is – don't get me wrong. Pat is a lot more accurate. I will say that.
Yeah.
But the arm strength. Each year, you see Josh progress, get better and get better and get better. And safe to say, man, like, I think he has a strong case to be the best quarterback in his draft. I'll tell you what, because Josh can play. He really can.
Yeah. And by the way, we know players love Mahomes. Do the guys like Josh Allen? Is he one of the dudes?
Oh, my God. He's a great competitor. Everybody loves Josh from a rookie to now. And I got to give a lot of credit to Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator. He's doing a great job with him. They're scheming everything up to fit Josh Allen. If it's quarterback-driven runs, if it's quick game, if it's deep throws, everything for the game plan is designed around Josh. They go out there and get him digs, a number one wide receiver, and then they build around him. So they're making Buffalo all about Josh Allen, and that's the way it has to be. You look at Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they built everything around him. And when you do that, man, your offense will be dominant.
So Rams-Seahawks, let's circle back. We both watched it last night. I know you watched the entire game.
A good one.
Now, I don't think Seattle's the same team as they were several years ago. They're not. Their defense is not very good. What do you make of Stafford and McVay and the Rams offense? Just tell me what you see that you like.
Well, when I see Matthew Stafford and the Rams, it's like a relationship like in the before the relationship, it was like off and on. Now you bring two lovers together. Everything they ever wanted, they have it. You know, I feel like Sean McVay wants to throw deep. He wants to play action. He wants a quarterback that can deliver on third down. Stafford gives you all that. It's times when he's pressured, sidearm, he go deep. And you see he's getting more comfortable and comfortable. Even last night, I haven't seen a team go up and down the field in the second half like they did. 290-yard some drives, back-to-back. I mean, that's unbelievable, man. So I think when you put that speed that they have out there, that gives them a boost. And then you have Matthew Stafford, who's an experienced veteran. And now he has a team with a great defense and some playmakers on the outside.
I want to ask you about the Pittsburgh situation. So we know, you know it, you played at Pitt, right? So, in fact, I think you guys play your games at Hines, right? So you know the facilities and all that stuff. So I know Big Ben's a legend. He's just not very good. He's older. If would it be making a mistake to the locker room if Mike Tomlin said, listen, we've won 3 games out of the last 10. Dwayne Haskins is no worse here, and Dwayne has a chance. Could you bench Ben, or would you lose the locker room?
It's tough because it's still is early. I think Big Ben has a chance to change things around. When I look at that Steelers team, it's actually more than Ben. I mean, they're not running the ball well at all from as long as I've been playing, and Ben from Pennsylvania going to Pittsburgh, like you said, the Steelers always had a chance to run the ball. That was always a big possibility. They're not doing that. They got a whole new entire offensive line that's struggling. You got a rookie running back that you put a lot of confidence in. He's not really running the ball. They're getting the ball to him in the air. So it's hard to blame everything on Big Ben. Now, I will say Big Ben has to step it up a little bit. I think he knows that. And in previous last year, year before that, he talked about how he felt like he didn't have it as much. You know, so when a player says that's older, that lets you know that he knows something's going on. He's not the same. So I think it's too early to bench him. But although if you bench Big Ben, man, you got to bench him for the whole year and look to draft somebody next year as a quarterback in the first round.
Finally, you know Tom Brady well. The defense is a little banged up. They weren't very good offensively. Gronk is out again. Tom's not quite as comfortable. Are you a little surprised that the Bucs have looked off this year? They don't look quite as good.
They'll be fine. B.A. does a great job with the guys over there. Coach Leftwich is doing a great job with the offense. The defense, they're going to be right there. They're going to be ready to answer when called on. They do a great job against the run. And one thing about football, if you can take out the run, you can focus on the pass. They got some injuries on the secondary that they'll work out. They just they just picked up Sherman. He'll help out. Once they get some of their guys back, I see Carlson just went down, and that's a big blow for him.
Yeah.
He's probably the number one corner.
Yep.
But they'll be fine. Tom Brady will find a way to win. I think they're an older group. They're more mature. They're veterans in there. They'll find a way to win. The offensive line is healthy right now. So I wouldn't worry about the Bucs. It's still early, and they're still doing great right now. I wouldn't worry about the Bucs.
By the way, your son was behind you for a couple minutes. He went to his room with his backpack, so he's doing his homework. Your son is doing his homework right now. Hopefully not playing video games. He's doing that homework first, but you want to check on him. He's right behind you in that room, Shady. It's great seeing you.
Yep, you too.